Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Karma You podcast. This is your host, Chloe Brotheridge. I'm a coach, a hypnotherapist, and I'm the author of The Anxiety Solution and Brave New Girl. And this podcast is all about helping you to become your calmest, happiest, and most confident self. Welcome to this week's episode. Today I'm talking to Samantha Clark, who is a happiness consultant, and she's a coach, and she's the author of the brilliant new book Love It or Leave It, which is all about either learning to love the job that you're in or leaving it and figuring out what you do want to do and going and doing that instead. And I thought this was such a pertinent topic right now in the time of COVID, when lots of us are maybe questioning our jobs, our lifestyles. Maybe you have been made redundant or furloughed, and it's forcing you to reconsider things. And so I thought this topic was coming at a perfect time. We get into topics such as, you know, leaving your job and trying something new, how to figure out what you want to do, what you're good at. We do talk about the job market and moving jobs in a time of COVID-19. We talk about how to handle the inner critic. You know, I love this topic. The inner critic is going to come up when we are trying something new, when we're doing something for the first time, when we're going outside of our comfort zone. And Samantha shares her strategy for handling the inner critic, which I love. We talk about priorities and why your actions speak louder than words. And this really gave me pause for thought and has caused me to evaluate a few things in my life. So I loved what she had to say about this. And we talk about how to fall in love with your job again, if you think that's what needs to happen. So I just wanted to let you know that I have a brand new website. I've been working on it for the last several weeks, giving myself kind of a headache, if I'm honest, squinting at the screen, checking all the buttons work, etc. I did have some technical help, but to be honest, it was a lot of me doing it and trying to figure stuff out for myself. Anyway, if you want to check out the website, it's still the same address, karmayou.com. And on there, you're going to find every single podcast for the last, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 podcasts. I've got full transcripts. So if you, or if one of your loved ones is not much of a podcast listener, but actually they would prefer to read it, or maybe watch the YouTube video of me and the guest talking. I've got lots of videos on there. Not everyone, not the people that I did in person, but lately I've been doing it all online. So I've uploaded the videos. So perhaps you would prefer to watch us or read us having this conversation, or a friend or family member would prefer that. So you can find that all at my new website, karmayou.com. And I've got loads of freebies on there, freebies for confidence, for anxiety. I've got some new things coming as well in the next couple of weeks, free resources for you to get involved in. So do head on over there and check it out. Let me know what you think. Hopefully you won't find any typos on there or buttons that take you to a 404 page, but fingers crossed. You'll also find on my website how to work with me one-on-one if you want to. I have a couple of slots at the moment for one-on-one clients. I help people who put a lot of pressure on themselves to find more work-life balance, to quiet the inner critic, and to move forward with confidence. So if you think that might be you, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me via my website. All right, let's get into the episode with Samantha Clark. Yeah, welcome, Samantha. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. How are you? What's happening?
Yes. Good. I'm good. Kind of, I know it's bad to say, but I kind of don't want lockdown to end. I know that's terrible. I wonder if lots of people are feeling the same. We've got kind of cozy in our little bubbles and it's like now we have to go out into the world. I'm not entirely sure, but
Yeah. It's a funny one. I was having a conversation with a friend and she said, you know, now I feel like I need to set different boundaries around what I will or won't attend and, you know, where I feel like going. And it's having those conversations with friends now about where you feel safe being and where you don't. And I think a lot of people have really enjoyed this time inside to reset, almost like as a little mini retreat from life.
Yeah, totally. And realizing what things you really want to do and what you don't, and what people you want to see and what people you don't really want to see, I think.
Yeah.
For sure. Can you please share, for people that maybe don't know who you are and what you do, what it is that you do and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, so I'm a happiness consultant and I'm also the author of Love It or Leave It, How to Be Happy at Work. And I've been on a journey to really figure out how to create more happiness at work. So I guess I've come a long way from my days in advertising and branding and moving into footwear design and then taking up a kind of space where I was doing a mixture of style coaching, personal branding. And the conversations I was having with people who'd just been made redundant or were thinking about switching was all around work. And I just love it. So I fell down that rabbit hole and retrained as a coach, studied psychology. And I guess I got my break thinking about happiness consultancy at a tech company. And they were kind of growing very quickly, but working remotely and not really sure how to scale people and culture and really think about that. They'd just gone from an office to, and so I proposed, I said, you know, I'd love to think about a happiness or a culture set up. And I became their head of happiness for 2 years. And then I branched out on my own. So I've been doing my own thing now since, I guess, 2015, and just growing. And I feel like I work both with companies in-house, helping them to think about cultures that really support employees to be their best. And I'm driven as well to give the employees and the individuals that agency around their career. So Love It or Leave It is really about empowering you to decide, are you going to find ways to love what you do or to create other opportunities on the fringes of your job to bring more joy, more happiness, more fulfillment and contentment? Or if not, are you going to leave? And what does leaving look like? And how do you destroy and rebuild your career and reinvent yourself?
I love that job title, Head of Happiness. What a cool title. Yeah, amazing. And I loved your book. I just read it. I think it's really practical. I love the fact that you can just be learning so much about yourself. And I think it's timely for right now. I imagine, you're going to know obviously more than me. I imagine a lot of people are thinking about just reviewing their lives, reviewing their work, thinking about what they really want. What do you think in terms of the current climate with everything that's going on in terms of people's jobs and reviewing their happiness? What's your kind of take on this timing for this?
Yeah, I think there are so many different states, and I think there are a lot of people who are feeling or questioning maybe the values, their own personal values, the values of the company that they work in. So they are looking to leadership and their managers to really showcase what the company's about. You know, we've had a lot of movements recently, whether or not it's the pandemic. We've also had, the Black Lives Matter. And, you know, all of these tensions in the workplace, we're all now working remotely. And so individuals are really scrutinizing their workplaces and thinking, is this a place where I can flourish and be happy? I think the pandemic has given us the space to breathe and to stop from the commute and the general running from one place to another and realizing, actually, I'm enjoying having breakfast with my partner. I'm enjoying putting my kids to bed. You know, could there be a different way of working for me? And then we've also got to be realistic. There are people who've been furloughed and some people have been made redundant. And that's like a massive kind of setback or a jolt to how you were working. You know, at the beginning of the year, you were probably very happy in your job and all of a sudden you're not working in it. You don't know what the health of the company is. And so it can be unsettling too. And so I really want people to use this time to reflect, to, like you said, there's lots of exercises in the book that are about that deep self-reflection and self-knowledge to figure out, you know, what is it I actually want to do and how do I want to spend my working days moving forwards? Because we spend a lot of time working and it is very intertwined into who we are and our identity and how we show up in the world. So I think we can make some right moves. Now is the time.
Yeah, it's the perfect time to reflect. And we spend so much time in our lives working. And it's, I don't know, is it one of the biggest stresses? I would say probably from the people that I speak to, it can be one of the most stressful things, or the thing that gives you, you know, the most happiness. So it is important to spend that time looking into it. One of the things that you talk about in your book is about work and our identity. And I was really curious to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I think for a while we've been maybe hemmed in by particular titles, and I think they've kept us a bit small, and that we only feel like, yes, I am an account director or I'm a graphic designer. And I want people to realize that there's so much more than that. And I think for me, I'm very driven to help people embrace the term or to find their purpose umbrella and to really think what sits under the remit of who I am and what I want to share with the world. And that can take so many different routes. You know, you could be the graphic designer who's also really interested in PR and maybe sells cakes. You could, you know, have a really fantastic career in law and be using your time also to educate startup entrepreneurs on, you know, legal kind of trademarks and things in their company. And so I want people to step into and be able to kind of think, who am I? Who do I want to be? Who do I want to become? And, you know, what am I meant to do on this earth? And I think it's more than just a bog standard title.
Are you seeing that there's more people being kind of multi-hyphenates and this kind of thing of, yeah, I make cakes and I'm a lawyer and I'm doing this? Do you recommend that for people?
I think there's a mix. I think there's a people who want a portfolio career and they want to be able to embrace lots of different sides. So it could be, you know, they're very right and left brained and they want to do both. Or maybe they want to do something that is physical and away from the laptop. And, you know, they probably love the fact that they're a programmer, and I've worked with an individual like this as a programmer, but also is an amazing oil painter. And so from that perspective, and then there are people who just have a great genre of work that they want to talk about, like myself. And I think it's knowing how to pair your almost black trousers of speaking, writing, and, you know, kind of consulting to any genre. So for me, happiness at work, you know, I'm a coach, I'm a consultant, I have a podcast. There are so many different ways that I'm doing this umbrella of work. So I think lots of people are investigating what work looks like for them. And also, I think it's okay to also be a serial specialist and to know, actually, I've enjoyed 10, 20 years as, you know, someone who's been working in finance. And actually now might be the time to do something completely different for another 10 years straight too. So I think we have the options.
Yeah, it's good to have those options, I think. I was talking to my cousins recently who are 17 and they're just choosing what they're going to study at university, and to think that you have to kind of decide what you're going to do for your whole life at 17. Like, I didn't know anything at 17. I think, how are we supposed to choose? But yeah, it's nice to think that we can change, that we don't have to just go down one specific path for our whole lives.
I think we have to be open to giving ourselves permission to do that too. I think the younger generation definitely are so much more empowered now to, you know, use the internet, use different platforms to start things in new ways, and it be okay to change. I think maybe as we get older, we get into certain responsibilities, or we've given so much to our training or the money we've spent educating ourselves, and we suddenly think, oh no, I can't change because I've invested so much. But I think I want to make it open for people to really trial some experiments and to see what another version of yourself could be.
So what would that look like, to experiment with different ideas?
Yeah, I think, you know, in the book, I proposed lots of different ways for you to start experimenting and stress testing different strands of your portfolio. So, you know, looking at, you know, where are the areas where I feel like I want to have a bit more fun? How do I interrogate, you know, people that I might know in that area? What skills would I like to learn and grow into? And set yourself different challenges. So a good example of this is, you know, I spoke to somebody and said, I'm really interested in photography. I feel like I'm going to become a photographer. And I said, well, what do you know about photography? And he's like, well, you know, I'm really interested and passionate about these types of photographs. And I said, you know, have a journey of experimenting and thinking, you know, do I want to take the photos? Do I want to teach people to take photos? Do I want to curate exhibitions? Do I want to study the work of famous photographers and, you know, write about them or just podcasts? And I said, you know, try lots of these different things. Give yourself a period of time, maybe 2 months, 3 months, you know, and at the end of that quarter, what do you say to yourself? What have I learned? What did I enjoy? Where do I think I could make some money from this particular area? And that's an experiment. And then, you know, you try something else and then you make a decision or you look at the results and analyze what's best to move on from there. But I think if we don't try, we'll never know.
Yeah, yeah. I like that idea of kind of road testing ideas and giving things a try. I'm just thinking about my sister who had a kind of office job for years. She'd studied illustration at university and was really, she's very arty, but tried to do this kind of office job for a few years. And everyone told her, you're never going to be an illustrator. Even my dad, it was terrible. He was like, yeah, you should probably just get like a real job. But she did stick with it. And she has finally, you know, created a good, successful career for herself. But I think it is difficult if you're wanting to go down a route of something more creative, or, I don't know, say you want to be a singer or an actress or an artist. I don't know, are the odds kind of stacked against you? And how do you decide what to pursue and how to give up? And should you have a day job or... I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, I think it's a hard, I think, you know, the key thing that you said about that, which I found interesting, was, you know, when our family or our friends also don't believe, it can be really challenging for us to think, should I really stick with this? You know, am I forcing myself against a brick wall? And I think there's always a way to do anything that you want. It's just about perseverance and determination. And if you are driven and you believe in yourself enough, I think it comes from that self-belief to know, actually, I might have to put up with the shit of with the rubbish of like a 9-to-5 job or whatever, because at the end of the day, I'm going to go home and I'm going to illustrate and I'm going to do 30 amazing drawings over the course of the week. And that is me building my portfolio. And so the job kind of helps me get there. And, you know, and then you kind of might use that negativity to fuel you, but I also don't think that you should rest on that. I think you should find your own power to fuel and drive your experience. And, you know, she's done it. So she had allowed herself to crumble under everyone else's weight of it doesn't work, or I don't think it's possible. Like, she would still be stuck. So I think we do have to find that inner courage to go for what we want if we really believe in it and find our anchor.
Yeah, I think that sense of self-belief and just sticking with it. I remember her saying to my dad, I'm going to die trying to be an illustrator. I'm literally not going to give up. So yeah, I think you kind of need that kind of attitude sometimes where you're just going to be like continuing on that path. Can you tell us about Dizzy? Who is Dizzy?
Yeah. So Dizzy is my internal, it's that little voice that creeps up whenever I'm trying to do something new or I'm pushing myself into a new place, and he sometimes, it's a she, pops up and, you know, will test me. You know, why are you doing that? Does anybody really want to hear from you? Like, all of these token statements. And, you know, I think it's important for us to give our inner critic like a job role, or to really name what it is trying to do. And sometimes, you know, we are naturally wired to be drawn towards a negativity bias. You know, our brain is there helping us to preserve ourselves and to be safe. And, you know, this kind of relates way back And we have to kind of keep overwriting that behavior and keep pushing ourselves to find the positivity. And so I question, you know, okay, why do I feel this? Where is this sensation coming from? What are you trying to tell me? Is it because maybe I'm underprepared in a certain area and I do need to do a bit more research, or I do need to ground myself in a bit more knowledge? Or actually, should I just give it a go and take the plunge, and on what's the worst that could happen? Okay, it doesn't work out, move on. And then, you know, sometimes it's just like, actually, you just need to try this. This is where you're at, and this is the next step. If you don't take it, the opportunity's gone. And so I will sit and have a conversation with myself, and with Dizzy, I'll maybe voice note it out. I might sometimes share that voice note with a friend, or, you know, talk to a friend about it, and they can also see the other side of the circle or the problem or the issue. But I think it's important for us to really note that it's a daily battle between our internal critic, our ego, and us finding our own voice, our own intuition. And I think it's being aware of that voice when it comes up and how loud it wants to be, and also knowing that you have the power to quieten it and to speak to it, and realize that you wouldn't talk to a friend with that behavior. So why are we allowing ourselves to? I think Kirsten Neff, who does a lot around self-compassion, says that we really need to monitor how we speak to ourselves and the things that we say. So, you know, I keep Dizzy well under wraps, but I think that they show up as and when it needs to, sometimes, to just really get me to do some bold things.
I love the idea of giving it a name, giving the inner critic a name. It just seems less like we can just, yeah, push it aside more easily if we've made it a separate thing. And we all have that inner critic. And I think just hearing you sharing that, I hope, is just reminding everyone listening that we all have that. It doesn't matter how successful you are. In fact, sometimes the most successful people have the loudest inner critics, I've heard. And actually, it doesn't mean that you're not good enough. It doesn't mean that you're, it's a sign that you should not try. It's actually just part of being human.
Yeah, of course. And for me, it's like, I feel like it's part of the journey. I think if I didn't have any of those, like, then I know I'm not stretching myself. You know, I feel like I want to keep growing. I want to keep building. I want to keep pushing. And every time, growth is a stretch zone. It's painful. It's like birth and death. It's always painful, destruction, giving birth to anything. And so if I wasn't feeling it, I'd be a bit, something's a bit off.
I love that reframe of actually, maybe it's a good thing if you're feeling, if you're experiencing the inner critic, because actually it's a sign that you're moving forward and you're doing something new.
I think it's those two things. It's knowing that you're feeling it and you're doing something new, but when you feel it, what will you do with it? Will you let it crush you, or will you let it propel you?
Yeah, I like that you sometimes share the voice note with a friend. I think that's a really interesting idea. I was having a conversation with a friend recently about, I was sharing some of the things that my inner critic was saying, and it was really nice to hear her share her outside perspective of, Chloe, you know, from the outside, everything looks like it's going amazingly. Like, what are you worried about? And that sort of thing just can be helpful, just to help you to step into that kind of perspective when we can't get there for ourselves.
100%.
I love that. Can we fall in love with our jobs again? If there are people listening that are, I don't know, if they're in a rut, you know, or they're just questioning everything since, you know, all that's been going on in the world, is it possible to do things to make ourselves be happier at work? And what are some of those things that you recommend?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when it comes to our work happiness, I think there are 6 different pillars that we really need to engage with. And we need to understand, you know, is it an internal thing that I am struggling with, in that maybe I need to do some work on my own, you know, my own mindset? Maybe I need to really think about how I am looking after my well-being, and maybe, you know, lack of sleep or stress, whatever is impacting my day job. And then it's thinking, you know, externally, what are the things that are actually causing me the biggest amount of pain at work? Is it the relationships that I'm in? Is it the actual role itself? Is it the sector or the job? And it's like, how do I start to make those tweaks? So if I want to pay a rise, like, how do I set myself in motion to make that happen? If I am really unhappy with the way that my manager's speaking to me, what are you going to do about it? Like, are you going to go and say something? How do you have that conversation? And I think we need to know that there is something that we can do at every stage. It's just, you know, how bold are we prepared to be? And also knowing that perhaps work serves a different purpose. You know, is it just the job for now that enables you to do the other things on the fringes? Is it your calling? And, you know, what you've realized is actually this job is not your calling. And maybe it's a step towards it, but actually now you need to find your calling and you need to kind of move in that direction. So I think we can love it in different ways if we're just willing to do the reflection on what it is that isn't working. Is it an inside job or is it things externally that need fixing? And then take it from there. And I think in the book, I definitely give you lots of different insights from the internal perspective, but also from the external to look practically about what to do.
Yeah, I really like that idea of looking at it in terms of pillars and sections and figuring out what is it about the job that is the problem, and what steps can you take to tackle it there? Because so often we make things about things outside of ourselves, don't we? We blame other people, we blame situations, but actually we have the most control probably over ourselves and our own responses to things, and how can we work on that instead?
And I think that, you said it there, I think it is the ownership that whilst everything is easy to point the finger, there are six different avenues for us to think about. So, you know, there is thinking about, you know, our mindset and our leadership, thinking about whether or not this is actually on brand for our purpose, thinking about if the way that we're working and how we're working is actually the right fit for us, money. Understanding the people in the place and looking at what systems and structures you have in place that allow you to be in workflow that really play to your strengths. And if you don't have, or if there's something off in these areas, you've got to do the work to fix it.
Absolutely. And I hope, I think it's such an important thing to do. So I really hope people are going to buy your book and do this inquiry into how they can love it or leave it. I was really drawn to something you posted on Instagram. You posted, if someone could see my actions and not hear my words, what would they say my priorities are? That really, really struck me.
Yeah. I think, you know what, it's, I've been having a lot of conversations around actions and habits and what we can do to really push ourselves deeper. And I love thinking about habits and things like that. So there's so many different books that I read about behavior, and I question when we say we want change or when we say we really want to move in a direction, and you look across your past week or the past month in your diary and you look where have you made the time, the space, or put the energy towards this thing that you say you want? And so, you know, if you look back and you say, okay, show me your actions, like where was the time that you put in the 10 minutes or the 20 minutes to just write down what you're visualizing for your career, or to send that LinkedIn message, or to reach out to somebody on Instagram, or, the same with exercise, you know, where could we, when you look back at your diary, where was the space that you made for the yoga class, the gym, the quick walk with a friend? And I think it's that reality of, like, we can say we want lots of things and we say we want to make that a priority, but what are we doing day to day, miniature step-by-step habit? And it just takes one action to change this whole kind of cycle of behavior, and to know that actually if we're falling into a rut where we're doing the same routines again that aren't bringing us the changes that we want, it's like Einstein says, it's madness. So we've got to reset the actions that lead up to the goals that we want.
Yeah, and sometimes it can seem so I know that I've got myself in periods of time where taking the action almost seems like impossible, like you're in treacle and you don't believe you can ever change. And if you can just do something small and kind of break free of that inertia or break free of that pattern, suddenly you've like proven to yourself that actually I can change, and it makes other action a lot easier, I think.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's so many people should definitely check out James Clear's book. Like, I think he's awesome when it comes to thinking about habit change. I think we just monitor, do you know what, it doesn't even need, if you haven't got time to sit and read about all of these things, just think to yourself when you sit down at the end of the day and like mark out, what have I done today? And what are the things that I'm really proud of? Where did I invest the time? And are any of these things actually moving you towards the goal? And you'll see at the end of the week, as you do your audit, and you've either filled it with fluff or, you know, the mission that you have instead. And again, there's no one else that we can blame apart from ourselves. There has to be that. And if you need someone to hold you accountable, like, find that too. It doesn't always... if you're struggling and thinking, actually, I'm struggling with making that and maintaining that promise to myself about change, like, find somebody to help you. Reach out to a friend and say, I'm struggling to really like make this a priority. Can you check in with me, even if it's a WhatsApp message, and set reminders on your phone?
Yeah, there's something very powerful about announcing it to someone and just knowing they're going to be asking you about it. It's definitely helps me. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. That's really something that I'm going to be thinking about and just reviewing over the next week, what I'm spending my time on, and does it match up with what I'm saying is important to me. So yes, I was really wanting to know, was there anything that you're struggling with right now, and what are some of the things that you do to help yourself and take care of your own kind of mental well-being?
I think it was funny at the beginning, not funny, but like at the beginning of COVID, I think there was a part of me, I'm in the vulnerable category, I have sickle cell, so it was very clear that I had to kind of remain in. And I remember a friend of mine who's kind of aware of what was happening in government was just like, oh, actually, no, when we didn't really have any insights into what was going on, she's like, no, you're going to be indoors for at least a minimum of 12 weeks. And I was like, what, 12 weeks? No way, I've got a book coming out. And she said, no. And I think the reality, I think I was definitely struggling with the not being able to go anywhere. And especially now, as like even the guidelines are still a bit wavy. They're like, oh, maybe we'll pause shielding for you guys around the 1st of August. We don't know. And that, for me, that limit of freedom was a big thing that I was struggling with, because I just I like my own company and I like my own space, which is fine, but I also like to know that I can go out and see people, and I just felt very trapped. And I think I just decided to really just lean in to myself and to lean into my practices. And, you know, for the first time ever, like, whereas I'd love to go to a studio, I actually made the effort to start real home practice of movement and Pilates. And, well, I was always into yoga, but I picked up Pilates, and that's become a staple. And so I think getting structured around my workout routine has definitely helped. The movement has helped me mentally. And I think I've learned to use smells and senses as a way to round off and start my day. So I love kind of starting the day with really like grapefruits and invigorating fresh fragrances, and then to kind of draw a line under where work is, I move into more of my evening fragrances, and it just kind of gives me that nice separation of the day. And it's helped me to kind of like zone my spaces differently. So I think that has definitely been helpful for me to kind of find my peace in all of this and surrender to whatever is happening. And just, I've also just leaned into my business a lot more. Like, it's never been a better time for me to be still and really listen to my clients. And not that I wasn't listening before, but now there's a different level of pain for different people. And I think I'm really hearing the nuanced messages and ways that they're talking about things differently, And I've loved that, and just serving and supporting in new ways. So that I've leaned into my work a lot.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing. I love that idea of listening without all the external kind of noise. Perhaps we can listen to ourselves and listen to each other in a different way. I was curious, what sort of smells do you have in the evening? Is that like essential oils that you use, or is that something else?
Yeah, so I have a diffuser. So in the evening, it's more lavender, vetiver, sandalwood. I've also got some great candles. My favorite at the moment is cognac, and it's by Mojo. And it's beautiful. It's just it's almost like being in a cake factory, but it's like cognac and biscuit. It's just it's sumptuous. It just gives me a nice little hug. I love vetiver. I love kind of really nice musty, kind of warm, deep scent, nutmeg, that kind of stuff. I know that's probably I definitely love autumn. I think that's my favorite. There's lots of autumn scents for sure. And I like more of the citrus in the morning, kind of fresh, vibrant, eucalyptus as well, those kinds of like tea tree, depending. But yeah, orange, all of that.
I'm obsessed with smells as well. Incense, candles, anything. I love a bit of a recommendation for that sort of thing. So thank you.
Definitely. There's one that I love at the moment, which is white sage and oud, I think. It's beautiful. It's like very aromatic. Yeah, fragrances, all about it.
love it. Yeah, well, thank you so much for speaking to me. It's been really, really helpful, and I think particularly at this time for people thinking about different jobs, really recommend they buy your book Love It or Leave It. Where can people find out more about you and what you're up to?
Yeah, so my website is loveitleaveit.co, and obviously you can buy the book, which is available on all good bookstores, online, also Amazon. And I also run the Love It, Leave It Life, which is my ongoing coaching program, which is really about helping people to take action. So whether or not you've read the book, it is definitely where you come to get learning, get action. And I do like a signature 12-week program called Building Your Work Portfolio. And you can also find me on, so that is actually open from 13th of July. And you can find me on Instagram @_loveitleaveit_ and @SamanthaAnd_.
Brilliant. And I'll put all those links in the show notes for everyone as well. Thank you so much for speaking to me. It's been really great. You have been listening to the Karma You podcast with me, Chloe Bretheridge. Don't forget, you can download loads of freebies for anxiety and confidence at my website, karmayou.com. You can also find out about my app and my one-on-one sessions. Please do subscribe to this podcast in the Apple Podcast app. And if you have enjoyed it or found it helpful, please leave me a review. It makes a massive difference to helping the podcast get discovered by other people. And come on over and find me on Instagram. I'm hanging out there every day. You can find me @ChloeBretheridge. Let me know what you thought of this episode. And please do share it with anyone who might need to hear this today. So I'm sending you loads of love, and I hope you have a brilliant week ahead.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.